Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived.
Oh, no, it won't.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving and welcome. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving and welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio, and this thing reaches all over the world. Thanks, folks. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're here. If you can't listen to the show, download it, podcast it for later listen. It's everywhere. You can find it, the George Wilder Jr. Show online, 347-857-1762. It is, 6:03 straight up p.m. Chicago time, whatever. But anyway, it's Thanksgiving, folks. And I want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there, regardless whether you celebrate or not. Happy Thanksgiving, because most people do celebrate, and most people are celebrating because they're breaknecking out of town. People are leaving on a Thanksgiving break, all weekend, you know. So people are leaving. Let me see. I have statistics here. 49 people are going out of town this weekend to celebrate Thanksgiving. 49, and that's probably overall, okay? But we do know that in the state of Illinois, there's 9 to 10 people leaving on the roads tonight. Tonight, this is Thanksgiving Eve, if we can call it that. They're leaving, they're on the roads now. And a lot of people are saying, hey, well, it's better if you leave in the morning if you can on Thanksgiving morning. Traffic will be a little lighter, but the roads are packed, folks. It's scary. I'm blessed not to be out there in that mess. But a lot of people are traveling. They're leaving for the weekend and they're going to see relatives and family. And that's a great thing. That's a great thing. But the roads are packed and we wish them our best. And happy Thanksgiving to everybody. If you're listening to this show in your car, in your home, wherever you are, in the world, happy Thanksgiving. This is November 23rd. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. So if you're podcasting this show in the future, you'll know that this is a Thanksgiving show. I should have put that on the marquee, but maybe next time, maybe I can change it, you know, sometime during the show. But anyway, happy Thanksgiving, folks, and I hope you have a safe and wonderful trip no matter where you're going. And if you decide to stay vacation, which is to stay right where you are, celebrate at home where you live, happy Thanksgiving to you. And that's a great thing. Even the Wilder family, we are going to be celebrating too, because usually I'm scheduled for Thursday, but to do the show, but the show will be canceled Thursday because of the holiday. I'm going to be out there like everybody else. You know, we're going to take off. We're going to have some fun too. And there's going to be the Macy's Parade tomorrow. I don't know if we're going to make that or not. If we do not, if you can't make the Macy's Parade to be out there in person, I mean, enjoy it in the comfortability of your own home. You know, there's nothing like dodging the crowds that way. Okay. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And another thing I want to say, it's late November and it feels like, I mean, early spring or late spring. The weather is just gorgeous. And they're talking about it being even more so this coming weekend, this coming Thanksgiving weekend. So it's going to be a lovely, lovely Thanksgiving weekend weather-wise, folks. And I mean, we just have to take it, enjoy it, and then bear it if it's unseasonable. You know, I mean, usually November this time we're freezing our asses off, but it's going to be in the city of Chicago, and I understand around the country it's going to be very, very, very nice. Excuse me. I called this a few months back because we had such a great summer. I said, we're going to have a really mild winter, and it's panning out to be that way. I called it on the show a few months ago when we were dead in the summer, and summer was just, it was just gorgeous. I mean, summer was just, it was one of the greatest summers that I think I've ever known, you know, and it was just, and it's still, and in some cases it's lingering kind of. And we're going to have a mild winter. I mean, December is next week, and it feels like spring, you know. So in my case, I always want the seasons to be what they are. Let summer be summer, fall be fall, winter be winter, so we can get back into springtime and then summer again. But if you think about it, it's, we're heading into 2017 and a new year. It's getting kind of scary, isn't it? You know, 2017, 2018, 2019. You think back to 2013 and 2012 and 2011 and 2010, and that's history right now. So we just have to do the best we can. And sometimes as life goes on, as life progresses, life gets tougher for a lot of us. Life gets tougher, but we have to hang in there, folks. We have to hang in, especially the young people. I mean, you still got time. If you're failing at something, you know, failing to me, when you fail at something, to me, I always say failing is a learning tool. You fail at something, you know not to do it again. So you've learned something. And go out there and try it again, but do it a different way, and you will succeed. Failing does not always mean an end to an end. Failing is an opportunity to try again and to do better, to stay away from those things that caused you to fail in the first place and try it again with doing something new and different. Happy Thanksgiving. We have a turkey sitting right behind me. And as soon as the show is over, actually, we're thawing it out. And I'm assuming a lot of people around the United States, America, the world maybe, thawing out turkey tonight so they can have it for dinner tomorrow morning. That's got to be exciting. And then once Thanksgiving is over, you've got Christmas, you've got New Year's. I mean, the holidays are among us, and it's always such a fun time. It's always such a festive time. It's always such a wonderful time to to celebrate these holidays, because then, because you have holiday music all over the place, you have family, friends, every Christmas lights, festivities, parades, I mean, you name it, bands, events, fun things to do around the city of Chicago, fun things to do around the city that you're listening to the show from. It's just a festive time, I believe. But there's a lot of people out here who don't believe in those kinds of things. Well, then that's their prerogative. That's their point of view. That's what they think. But most of us, we think that Christmas is a great time of the year, especially when it comes to family time, because that's the time you are with family. The majority of the time of the year, you're working, you know, you're getting up, going to work, getting up, going to work, getting up, going to work, and you finally get a chance, get a day off, a few days off, and you want to enjoy family and the best of friends. And I'm not talking about Facebook friends. Facebook friends, someone told me not too long ago that Facebook friends aren't actually Facebook friends. They're acquaintances. And I agree with that. But acquaintances can eventually become friends. You know what I'm saying? You're acquaintance first, and then you are a friend. So there are people who actually do have Facebook friends. You know, and then there's people who have only just Facebook acquaintances who can be friends. One thing about Facebook, I mean, I get calls from people on Facebook claiming to be my friend. They call me on the phone, you know, because somehow Facebook gives all that information out to your friends, the people of your friends or your so-called friends, and sometimes even without your permission. And I don't know if that's a good thing. You know, I don't know, because a lot of people calling and, you know, you don't want all those crazy people calling you. They say that they're your friends, but that's like any other social networking site. It's social. It means conversing with people, talking with people, meeting people. And I've also heard, I'm not sure, I got to get some more detail on this, that Facebook is paying people, paying their members or users or something. And the first thing I thought when I heard that, well, they're not going to give me a damn thing. I don't see what they're going to pay me for, you know, because they're limiting limiting what people can see what I post. So I don't know why they would be paying me, but I can tell you, Mark Zuckerman has enough money to pay each and every one of us who are a member of his website's Facebook. So I'm going to dig some more into that. But anyway, folks, it's going to be, I mean, this is a Thanksgiving show. We will be off the air tomorrow, Thursday. I said this before, and I want to make sure that all my fans and all the listeners and all the podcasters out there know that we're going to be off the air on Thanksgiving, and we're going to be off the air on Christmas, because we are going to be celebrating those just like you are. So you can all, if you want to listen to George Wilder doing the show on Thanksgiving, just go to the website or go to Google and research it and pull up a show and listen to it. You know, I mean, they're all there. They're like reruns. They're like what I've done in the past. But they're great shows. They're wonderful shows. They're knowledgeable because all of my shows are about, if I can see it, educating, informing, inspiring, and empowering people, you know. And it is a political show. I got it's a category is politics, but no, we talk about a variety of things. I have a lot of guests on here we get into many kinds of topics. It doesn't have to be politics. It could be family, friends, relationships, music, whatever, you know, cooking, health, you know, autism, Alzheimer's, whatever, diabetes. We talk about it all. I have doctors on the show, and they give out information. So it's a great show. It's a variety show. We talk about a lot of things. And I wanted to say something about Dr. Oz. A lot of people watch his shows. Dr. Oz, to me, his show has gone from being a medical show about medicine to being just about anything he wants it to be about. I think that's turning me off, because every time I want to watch Dr. Oz, I want to hear him talk about something medical that can help people. Because we all know that there's some of these medicines and medications that a lot of us need to live on are going up. The prices are spiking just because they can spike. These drug companies are raising the prices on needed medication that people need to live dramatically, over 50%, sometimes 50 to 75%. They're raising the prices on drugs, and people can't. The people who rely on these drugs, they can't afford these drugs certain times of the month or the year. And a lot of people are going without those drugs because they can't afford them. And this is wrong. Why are the pharmaceuticals and the medical industry gouging the public like this? Simply because they're not being regulated. Nobody's watching them. They're a monopoly. There's no competition. And in some cases, if there is competition, they will still go up on them anyway because they know that you need them. And it's a shame that they would do that to people. They would literally kill people, in my view, because they're raising the prices of the drugs that they need to help them through, and they can't afford this. So to me, that's murder, you know. But they don't care, you know. I mean, they don't give a shit. They want money. And it's all about, the medical industry is all about keeping you and me and the rest of the population sick, because it makes them money. Being sick, being ill is profitable. Being sick is a moneymaker for these drug companies. You're on your deathbed, you know, that's a moneymaker for them. It's a damn shame this is what it has come to, raising prices of drugs out of the reach of the patient, because they are just damn greedy. They are greedy. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We will take a break right here, and I will be right back, folks. Thanks for being here. Can we click that? All right. Welcome back, folks, and happy Thanksgiving. Throughout this duration of this show, it's always going to be about happy Thanksgiving. And so I want to make sure that everybody knows that I will not be on the air tomorrow. There has been no show scheduled for tomorrow. There is no guest booked. If there is, then I apologize. But however, today we have, well, the marquee says author Corey Williams will be on the show. That's remained to be seen because this is that remains to be seen because this is Thanksgiving night and so many people are up and getting out of town. I mean, in the millions, folks. And that's why I say I'm glad I'm not out there because I know that the traffic on the roadway is horrendous. I hope all those people be careful out there. Okay, because you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show to talk about times. Always here to make the world a better place one show at a time. That's all. That's all it's about. That's all it will be, no matter how bad it may seem or senseless or ridiculous as it may seem to some people. We're going to be always be here to try to make the world a better place, to help to try to make the world a better place, because I can't do it by myself. You can't do it by yourself. Everybody has to, you know, everybody in the world has to be on the same page, of the same mind to want to do this, you know, and that's not going to happen. Everybody's not going to be on the same page in the same mind, but we can try to get most people to do that. And we want peace on earth. This is Christmas, folks. Let it be peace on earth. Put down the guns, stop the shootings, stop the beatings, stop the BS. Let there be peace on earth. Let everybody love one another at least for a few days. You know, stop the shootings, stop the arguments, the bitching, the cussing, you know. The women, the domestic violence, the elder abuse, all of this stuff that's going on now. The prostitution, let all of this stuff go for at least a few days or forever, whatever you can do. And think about Christmas. Think about giving, loving, and caring, and just doing good, helping someone who can't help themselves, helping someone that deserves our help. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people out there who deserve our help. A lot of these social programs are being upended. A lot of them have been closed. A lot more are going to close. You're going to find more homeless people out there. You're going to find more people in need of food. You're going to find more people in need of clothing. And these are legitimate people. And people are, as I speak, people are losing their, people are becoming homeless. I mean, entire family out there on the street, folks. I'm talking about infants out there on the street, you know, in this cold, whether it's cold, mild, or warm, they are homeless out there in the streets. So we have to find a way this Christmas to because homelessness right now in 2018 is massive. Got some people living on the street. The homeless shelters are overwhelmed with people. They have to turn millions and millions of people away around the world from the shelters because there are too many more people in there. And a lot of people who are working at those shelters, it breaks their heart to have to turn families away, people away, because they just can't. It's not that they want to do this. It's just that they just cannot fit anymore inside some of these shelters. And when I say around the world, I'm talking really massive homelessness because of the social programs ending, the welfare programs ending, they have more stringent rules for getting food stamps. It's tougher. It's rougher now. And a lot of people are starving, and it's a shame. So this is the one of the reasons why I love Christmas, because instead of myself sitting down or Thanksgiving, instead of myself sitting down having a turkey, we go out and we help to feed others. We take that turkey that we were going to have and slice it up and take it out there and feed others, people who maybe need it a little more than I do or you do. It's all about giving. To those who deserves to be who deserves to have a better Thanksgiving, a better Christmas, a better New Year's. You know, but you, like I said before, and this is true, you can't help everybody, because if you tried to help everybody out here that needed help, then you would need help, because you gave everything you've had away to people who deserve it. But now you are in need. So you can't really help everybody, but you can help. You can satisfy yourself in helping those who you can. And it's a great feeling, and it's great pleasure when you know that you've helped somebody and they totally appreciated it. I mean, they're shaking your hand, they're smiling, they're thanking you and all of this kind of thing. You know, it's a good feeling. And who knows, by doing things of such good nature, something positive just might come back on you and bless you in the same way. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great Thanksgiving. It is time to be thankful. It is a time for to be thankful, a great family, great friends. And if you have none, be thankful anyway. If you have no family, if you have no friends, be thankful, be joyous anyway. Instead of just spending your holidays alone, go down and volunteer and help someone who needs help. Go shelter and help someone. And that way you will not have to spend your holidays alone. And that's the truth. If you have no one, you have no family, no friends, then go out and volunteer to help people down at your local shelter. Your local food pantry, help them out, volunteer, and you will make plenty of friends doing that. That's one of the ways of making great friends. I've done it. I've known people who have done it. You meet people, you greet people, because there's other people down there also at the shelters and the food pantries who are also volunteering their time, and you can meet them. You guys be there together doing a good deed, helping those who are in very, very need and helping those who deserve to be helped. Now, there's a lot of people out here who are moochers, who are scammers, who are con people, pretending like they're helpless, pretending like they're in need and they're not. I've had this happen, folks. I've had this happen where, you know, a 90-year-old lady standing on the corner begging for money all day long, all day, every day, a 90-year-old lady standing on the corner begging for money. At the end of the day, you know, she picks up and she goes to her condo. Yeah, I've seen this several times. People come out of their homes, they come out of their apartments, they come out of their condos, and they stand on the street and they beg for money, looking healthier than you, looking healthier than I. You know, it's like a job to them. This is something that they do. You got people who have the means to do everything, but yet they are looking for something free. Now, we can't let these kinds of people dampen our spirit of giving, but we just have to watch out to make sure that the people that we're giving our time and our money to, that they are in legitimate need, not giving our money to someone who's trying to con us to thinking they're in need and they're not in need. They're just out there begging just for the hell of it to see if they're going to get something. There's people out here who are begging on the streets. It's a full-time job. I mean, it's a full-time job. A shelter might send them out there to beg. A nursing home might say, hey, go out there and beg for money. Or some guy or some girl say, well, go on the corner and beg. It's like a job. You know, I mean, you really can't give money all the time to somebody standing on the street begging. Because there's somebody on every corner begging for money. You know, you give money to this person, and the next person on the next corner begging, the next person on the next corner is begging. I mean, you don't have any more change or dollars or anything to give. And the next person is begging. Then there's the people who beg, who get upset and pissed off if you don't give them nothing. Or they may get upset and pissed off and attack you because you say you don't have anything to give them. So you have to watch yourself out there, because a lot of people out here will take advantage of your kindness. They'll take advantage of what you give. They'll take advantage of your heart. So you have to be, and they will. They will con you and scam you to giving up everything that you've got. And you have to watch that, you know, because it's sad that people are like that, but people are like that. So you just have to be careful out here. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Happy holidays, everybody, especially after Thanksgiving. Happy holidays, and it's going to be a great time. I feel good. I always love the holidays. I just think they're just great, especially family times, and it just feels so good. It's just something in the air about Christmas and Thanksgiving and New Year's. It's just something in the air about that. You know, hey, you get some time off work, right? But then again, a lot of people have to work on holidays. And that's a shame, but, you know, that's the way it is. You got to pay the bills. You know, a lot of places like FedEx or UPS, United States Post Office, these are delivery companies. They have to deliver packages. And so they will be working. They will be working because they're hiring extra help, seasonal help. And that's a good thing. And so these are some of the people who will be working on holidays. So for all of you out there who have the day off on Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, bless you, because there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be working, you know, and because, like I said before, the bills have to be paid. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio right here. LinkedIn, Amazon, I'm all over the place. Okay, let's go to the phones. Okay, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi, George. This is Corey Williams, just checking in.
Hi. Yeah. Okay. All right. Corey Williams on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks for joining us, man. Give us a little bio. Tell us something about you and what you do.
Well, I'm an actor and writer. I'm currently living and working in Los Angeles, California. I'm originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Majored in creative writing in high school, drama and dance in college. And pursue all those after school and continuing to do so. And in the process of doing that, I've written and published 4 science fiction novels, and I'm trying to get more material out there for the world to see.
Hey, well, hey, you came to the right place, at least one of the right places. So you're an author and you are an actor. So is there anything that we probably have seen you in?
Well, I've done a lot of theater, a good amount of voiceover. I've had small parts in larger productions, and actually bigger parts in really small independent films around. Mm-hmm. Largely, it's been theater. Primarily voiceover.
I heard that if you really want to get into acting, the best way to start is going in theater first, being on stage first, and then
it all stems. All the other venues or avenues, they all stem from theater, and theater itself stems from storytelling around a campfire, creating a story, holding your audience enthralled with your words and acting out, and then it just built into something where then you've actually written something down that you have other actors performing in order to convey the story to a larger audience. So it stems from the campfire, grew into the theater, and then film, all of that, film, radio, everything, it all came from that point.
Wow. And I understand that a lot of actors who have worked in theater and movies, if you ask an actor or an actress which genre do they prefer, and most will say theater over movies. They enjoy that live interaction. They enjoy that live interaction from that live audience.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're doing film or television, you at least you can do retakes. You have the opportunity to fix your mistakes so that the audience is going to eventually get the best performance that you can present them. And there's a gap between what you did and when they see it. Whereas when you're doing theater, there's you, there's the audience, there's an exchange of energy between the actors, between the performers and the audience that is very immediate. You get immediate feedback. You and the audience feed off of one another.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Again, the immediacy there is whatever happens, happens. So if there's an accident, if you flub a line or what have you, or if you go up and lose your lines, you have to keep on plowing through. There's no cut back to one retake. No, it's just you and the audience, and you have to keep on going no matter what.
Okay. So what is your distinction? Do you prefer stage acting or movie acting, or it doesn't matter?
I mean, I love them both. I love them both. Whereas with film and television, again, it's you and hopefully a certain degree of camaraderie with the actors that you're working with.
Yeah.
So that chemistry comes across to the viewer. It's the same with theater, but then again, the theater is more immediate. So I love the theater. And even when I get to do stuff in front of the camera, you always long to go back to that place where you can perform in front of a live audience.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard actors say that they love going back to the theater. They would never leave the theater. Movies are okay, but they're not as spontaneous as a live audience. That adrenaline that you'll get from that audience, even though I never acted on stage. Okay, I'm just kind of presuming a lot of things. But you have a deep, deep voice. You say you do voiceovers.
When I can, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Animated or video games?
I've done some industrial films, industrial videos, basically videos made for specific companies to be shown in-house, educational videos. I've done a few commercials, regional radio commercials that have gone in just different parts of the country. And I did one animated piece and a couple of radio shows that I did with a company called Focus on the Family. And one animated film that I did, I'm not even sure if that eventually came to pass. We recorded all of the voices. I don't know what happened after that. We had the script, we got in the studio, recorded the voices, and then that was the last I heard of anything. So I don't, I've been looking for the project to see if it actually came to fruition after we did all the recording.
Oh, wow. Okay, what do you want my audience to know about you? What do you want to push? What do you want to say, you know?
Well, let's see. When I would go back to my old high school, I went to the Philadelphia High School for Creative and Performing Arts. We were actually a civic program at New York School that was shown in movie Fame. And when I would go back on occasion to visit my old school, and things are very different now than when they were when I was there, the things that I would tell the students were, if you are going to pursue this, you have to pursue this. It has to be a passion. It has to be your life's blood. You have to do this. You have to be willing to do this, even if there was no money involved. Even if there was no
money. Oh, yeah, I agree.
You don't feel spiritually fulfilled unless you're doing it. If you're doing it and you keep honing yourself and your craft, the money will eventually come. but you have to do this because you can't see yourself doing anything else and being truly happy with yourself. In the meantime, one has to be practical and have and make sure you have a means of bread and butter money so that you can pursue your passion.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I think you have to push the money aspect aside to do what you really want to do until you really get a handle on it and the money start coming in. And I totally agree. Corey Williams on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Can you tell us a little bit about your books, your writing?
Okay. Well, I've written and published 4 science fiction novels through an online content company called Lulu.com. My first novel was called Totentanz, which means Dance of Death in German. And it involves two men, one being a peace officer of sorts, the other being a former criminal who is now no longer. But the two of them are thrown together under unusual circumstances. This man, this former assassin, has decided to turn state's evidence against the people for whom he used to work. He has a lot of enemies now that they've found out he's still alive.
Wow.
This peace officer has to take him to a special inquest where he is supposed to present all of this information to higher-ups in government so that they can act upon it. And because of machinations without and within, they end up being stranded on this desert planet in the middle of nowhere, having to rely on each other. And apparently trust is going to be their only way out of this.
Wow, that sounds interesting, man. You make me want to go grab a copy. It sounds very, very interesting. It does. It sounds interesting. I mean, anything that can pull me in and that, you know, you make me want to go grab a copy. And if I wanted to get a copy, and this is your first book, right?
That was the first book, yes.
Okay. Are your books available on Amazon.com?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Okay.
They're available first through Lulu, the publisher, and then they are also available on Amazon.
Okay.
Now,
can you give us a... Okay.
The second book is called The Taking of Sindriel's Hope. This story actually takes place 10 years prior to the events in Totentanz.
Okay.
Which a former military officer who is now the leader of a cadre of piratical terrorists, they hijack a passenger liner. They make their demands. They broadcast their demands.
Yeah.
That members of their group who are currently in prison must be released.
Mm-hmm.
The clock starts ticking as the demand comes with a price. It's like, we will kill one passenger every hour on the hour until our demands are met. If at the end of a certain time our demands are not met, we're going to just scuttle the entire ship and be done with it. Now we have one passenger aboard the ship who happens to have abilities that no one else has. He is the young man who will eventually become the peace officer in Totentanz. Only now he's young and untrained and on his way to university for the first time. He, after seeing one of the passengers die in front of him, decides that he cannot stand on the sideline. He has to do something. So with his own abilities and the help of some of the crew of this ship, he manages to keep the hijackers at bay and off balance until help can eventually arrive.
Wow, that's interesting. It brings another question to mind. How do you think that you can, incorporate these stories into a screenplay and maybe have it on stage at one point?
I'm working on that at this very moment, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
The taking of Sindriel's Hope specifically, that is a script that is currently in what is called development hell right now. There's a long tone over time trying to reach the right producers, trying to get a hold of people who actually share your, who at the very least understand your vision.
Yeah.
And then that can do with people who share your vision to actually make the thing happen. So that's in that limbo state of development right now, but we're still working on it.
Yeah, and I understand if you have a scripter or you need an agent or something, you know, to take it to the producers.
That's one way. But I mean, a lot of producers now are looking for new writers who are not necessarily represented, at least not initially. Star Trek The Next Generation, that was a prime example, because that show had an open door policy. They accepted writers who were unrepresented. They accepted scripts, and they would read them. And if the script was good and fit what they were trying to do with the show, then they'd get back to the writer, and there may be some modifications that had to be made to the script.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
If they liked what they saw and went with it, then they would use that writer's material. They'd get paid in credit for it, and with the possibility of coming back to write more material for the show.
Yeah, so but that was Star Wars. Yeah, I was going to say that's Star Wars The Next Generation. A lot of that's not happening anymore. It depends on, I guess, you know, the movie and the producers for what they want to do. But I think what you've just stated, talked about in your books, I think that those are screenplays for a great movie. And all right, Corey Williams on the George Wilder Jr. Show, actor and stage theater. Stage and theater. Tell us where we can find your books and where we can get, or people can get in touch with you and all that good stuff.
Well, I have a Facebook page. It's like Corey mm-hmm. Works. No, Corey Wins and Corey Works. There I can be easily contacted. My books can be found, as we said, on Amazon and on Lulu. The four mm-hmm. books are Totem Tanz, the TOTENTANZ. The Taking of Sindriel's Hope, Hunter's Moon, the third book, and the fourth mm-hmm. book is Darkspeed Aradani, which I'm also working to adapt to the screen.
Yeah, great, great. Are you working on a fifth book? Or will you be working on a fifth book?
I have three more novels in various okay. different stages. I write as it comes to me, and so mm-hmm. if I'm stuck on one, I'll set that aside and work on another, and then keep on doing that back and forth and back and forth piecemeal until they eventually get done. Right now,
you know what? Okay, I don't mean to cut you off, but right, that's the way I do it, man. I'm a writer too, so I'll have three or four projects in the fire. But if I get writer's block on this story, I'll jump back on this story. And if I get writer's block on that story, then I'll jump to the next story. But that's how I do it. Some people don't agree with that, but I think that's great. Yeah.
At least you have creative options. It's like, one's mm-hmm. not working for me right now, but I do have ideas yeah. coming for another one. Let's go with this for a while. So, yeah, I okay. work like that all the time.
All right. Okay, Corey Williams, thanks for being on the show. Would you like a link to this show to put it on your website, or to let people know where it is and where they can listen to you on this show and learn about you?
Oh, absolutely, please.
Oh, no problem. I'll get it to you in about an hour. And I want to say happy Thanksgiving.
And you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Corey Williams on the George Wilder Jr. Show, Deep Voice, and all of that stuff. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We are going to take a break if we can find. Let's see. We're looking for something. We're strolling up and down here, folks. So we will be right back. Thanks, Corey Williams, for being on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
peanut butter sandwiches. If you put the milk, you don't have to put the peanut butter sandwich.
All right, folks, there's a rise in stroke. People are having strokes like nothing else from this report. 35 to 44-year-olds are having strokes constantly, they say. And some of these strokes in some of these young people, they're saying is caused by, maybe caused by, or diabetes may contribute to a lot of strokes that are happening in young people, 35 to 44. When you thought about, and people who are 60 and over, the stroke ratio is going down. But in young people, it's going up. So something is not right there, okay? And they're saying a lot of younger people are getting or have diabetes. A lot of young people have pre-diabetes. You know, there's so many people walking around with don't even know that they have diabetes and they have it. They just know that they're dizzy and they're fuzzy and confused, but they don't know what it is. They think it's just a passing phenomenon. No, go to your doctor, check it out, find out what it is, because diabetes, I talk about diabetes on this show all the time, and but the rise in stroke patients at hospitals is something else. Stroke is it's similar to a heart attack, but it's in your brain. You know, artery shortage, clogged up, or plaque stopping the blood flow in your brain, and suddenly you have a stroke. And we know with strokes, people can become sicker. I mean, you become a stroke can give you a disability, a really severe disability. And it happens in young people. I mean, my cousin, I remember her, she had a stroke and her entire face was, one side of her face was twisted. And, so it's nothing to laugh at. It's nothing. It's something to take very, very, very serious, and to do the things you can to try to prevent a stroke. And that is to, you know, if you have diabetes, make sure you're keeping track of your sugar level, low, high, whatever. And a lot of people are going to say, hey, well, I got diabetes, but I'm going to town. It's Thanksgiving. I'm going to eat. but you know, it's just still amazing to me that food is the cause of all of these problems. Food, you know, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, stroke. It's food. You know, and we watch what we eat. If we exercise, I just got through talking about the high cost of medication. If we, you don't have to go with any of that medication if you start, if you get this, these things before they become overblown, before they become terminal or incurable. And one of the ways you can do that is by eating right. I know that's tough for a lot of people. I mean, obesity is off the hook. I mean, fat people are many. Most of these people, you look at them, they're overweight. You say, well, I bet that person has diabetes. I bet that person has cancer. I bet that person has heart disease, because you can see it in their face. You can see it in their bodies. You can just like a doctor can look at you and tell if you're sick. Some people can look at other people and tell that they're sick, even if they try not, if they try to pretend that they're not. It comes across. I guess what I'm trying to say is take care of yourself, take care of your body. If you need to cut down on what you eat, cut down on your sugar, cut down on this, cut down on that. And you know, the funny thing is, like I was saying earlier, the medical industry is all about keeping you sick, because keeping you sick is going to keep you buying that expensive ass medication that you feel is going to keep you alive. I believe they have cures for cancer. I believe there's a cure for cancer. I know there's a cure for diabetes. There's a cure for heart disease. These people are just pulling our legs and just dragging their ass. It's because they don't want you to know that there's a cure for these things. 40 years and they can't find a cure for cancer? Give me a break. Give me a damn break. The only way you're going to get cured of cancer, you got to be somebody famous. You got to be rich. They got to like you or something like that, or you're going to die. But basically what I'm saying, folks, is food is the culprit of all of this. You have to watch what you eat. And you can basically, they're saying, well, fruits and vegetables, sometimes fruits and vegetables are the ones that can kill you. If you eat too much of it, if you don't eat too much of it, you don't know what the hell to do. But there are doctors out there that say you can eat anything that you want. The trick is not to eat too much. If you eat two sandwiches a day, cut it down to one sandwich. If you eat a spoonful of mashed potatoes, slice that in half and only eat half of that spoonful of mashed potatoes. Basically, it means cut down your portions. Start counting your calories. Start counting your carbohydrate count. Eat less, exercise more, or you will die. That's the bottom line. Eat less and exercise more. And there should not be an excuse for Americans not to exercise. But there is. A lot of people just don't like it. A lot of people feel that they don't need exercise. I'm not fat. I don't need no exercise. I'm going to live forever. Some people may get away with that, but that's a small percentage. Most of us need to work out, keep our bodies in shape, especially as we grow older. As we grow older, exercising become more and more important for those people who are 55, 65, 75, 85 and older. Exercise is crucial. I mean, you don't have to join a gym and pay $100 a month membership fee. You can just take a 15, 20 minute walk 5 days a week, you know, and that will do it, because a lot of us who are up in age, we can't go into a gym and start lifting weights. We're going to break something. Our bones are fragile. We're older, but walking, you know, it's just free. I mean, you're free. If it's too cold to go outside to walk, if you can't make it to a senior center near your house. I mean, use your house or your apartment to walk back and forth for 15 minutes. You know, so you can weed yourself off of medication. You can tell the pharmaceuticals and the medical industry to go fuck themselves. You don't need their medicine. You don't need to go to a doctor to get a checkup, because you're exercising, you're eating right, and you're feeling great. This is what's going to keep you alive. Exercise will eliminate your heart disease. Exercise will eliminate the pain that's in your knees. It's good to exercise, especially when you're older, because exercise will help you and keep you from falling. You remember that slogan, I've fallen and I can't get up? If that person had exercised at least four or five times a week, that person would not have fallen in the first place. You know, so exercise is the key. Eating right, cutting your portions, counting calories, counting carbs will keep you on the earth a bit longer. Exercise, do not put the it's just overwhelming. There are so many benefits from just walking, exercising. You don't have to get out here and jog and hit the pavement. You just walk. Have a great time walking in the sunshine. Walking on a great summer day or spring day, even in wintertime. Get you some sweatpants, sweatshirts, you know, a pair of gym shoes, and get to walking your ass off. And enjoy it. And one of the things I discovered by exercise and walking, that you can come up with so many great ideas. You can do a lot of thinking. You can some of the best titles to my stories that are now on Amazon, I thought of just walking, you know, and just letting the sun bake down on me. Exercising for 15, 20 minutes, maybe an hour a day on how you feel. Because the first thing to go when you get older is your legs, your knees. Oh, damn, my knees hurt. Oh, you exercise and a lot of that pain will be eliminated. You won't need aspirin or a prescription drug medication that's going to cost $200, $300 or more. It's ridiculous. The medical industry is sticking it to you, is sticking it to me. But if we take care of ourselves, if we take care of our bodies, exercise, eat right, cut those portions, we will stick it to them, because we will not need their medication that they're trying to charge the hell out of us for. You know, so take care of yourself. I don't know how I got on this. How did I get on this? Well, anyway, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Here is a piece on leadership.
For 30 years, I've been teaching this, and I've taught this for West. For 30 years, I've been Microsoft.
Okay, well, there's something wrong with that.
Delta, and I've taught this for the largest organization.
Okay, we're going to go with this one. How to? There's something wrong with that one. All right, we're gonna.
So in this video, I'm actually going to talk about how to get more reviews, which is a huge challenge for indie authors, but mostly because they're not asking for reviews, and they feel uncomfortable asking for reviews, or they don't know who to contact or who to ask. So we're going to fix all of that right now. You have to keep in mind, most people aren't going to review your books. If you get 1,000 downloads, maybe one person will, you know, decide to leave a review. And mostly those people, like, it's going to be the people who didn't like the book who want to actually go and leave a review. More so than if people just liked it and enjoyed it, they just may not feel like writing a review, which is why you really have to ask in the back of your book, please go review my book, and add a link to your book or the review page. So people, you know, it's okay to say, you know, I'm a struggling indie author and your review is so critical and so important. Please take a second and leave an honest review. It doesn't have to be a raving review or a five-star review, just you know, any review, an honest review. That's all you're really asking for. So you want to make that ask in your book so that people are buying, when they buy or download your book, they actually go back and review it. That's critical. But also, we need to find reviewers who might review our book and email them. And so we're going to do that by, I'm just going to click on some mermaid books, and I'm going to see who the reviewers are. This is actually a great example. I'm going to find another. I'm going to look at Wake by Amanda Hawking. And of course, you would do this for your own genre, for other books that are very similar to your books, so that readers who liked that book might be interested in reading your book also. And so I just go down to the reviews, and I'd click on these. This is somebody who didn't like the book, so you want to be careful. If they didn't like the book, they might not like your book, but you can also see if they didn't like the book for some certain reason, maybe they'll like your book more. They like the type of book, they just weren't happy with this particular effort. And so usually when you click, you're going to see something like this, which, you know, doesn't really help you. But probably about a third of the reviewers are going to have contact information, because a lot of these people have their own blogs and they leave reviews regularly. So you just have to start clicking. So here's one that gives a website, and you just want to make a list. So you want to just say, you want to keep it like when you email people, you're going to have to say, I saw that you reviewed this other book that's similar to my book. Or at least you want to say, I saw that you review a lot of books in this category or genre, because that's the way you need to introduce yourself. But you can start making a list of websites. So in this, like, I've already started, and I've got about 100. I'm going to get up to 500. So this is Amanda Hawking's Wake. And I've just been copying the information from Amazon. And you might think this is really weird, but most of the people who have information, they're book reviewers. So they don't mind if you ask them to review a book because they have a website about it. They probably get a lot of submissions. So you need to be aware of that, and you need to make sure that your email stands out. But first, you have to know who they are. So you have to just, I mean, I've spent hours doing this, and you have to do this on your own. But here's another one. They have a blog. Some of them have a name, some of them don't, but you can usually find that information on their website. So, I mean, I'm just going to spend a few hours. I said earlier, I was talking about the negative thing, where most of the reviews on the homepage are going to be negative. That's something we talked about that you want to try to fix a little bit. But if I go into, like, you know, the five-star ratings, then I can just click on all the positive reviews and copy the information. So here's another one with a website.
Yeah, hold them chillers on that 30. I show them.
This one doesn't have a website, so I can't really do anything. Once you have the website, then later you can go to their website, you can find their contact information page. Some of them put their email right on their Amazon page. So once you have that information, you could just email them directly. But you want to, I mean, ideally, you know, for every 10 people you email, maybe one of them will get back to you or ask for a review copy.
Is it yours?
But a lot of people won't. So this is kind of a numbers game. You know, you're emailing strangers, basically. And you want to reach out to as many people as you can. So, like, I'm going to try to go through all of the best-selling mermaid books in my category. And I'm going to try to email as many people as possible, like 500. Because if I email 500, then I might get 50 reviews, and that would be a decent number to start with. So it takes a lot of effort and time, but it's got to be done. when you email people, you can email something kind of like this. Dear reviewer name, if you can find their name. I saw your Amazon review of this other book. Or you could just say, I see that you review a lot of Amazon books about this thing or in this genre. I want to see if you're interested in another. And I would actually add some keywords, dark fantasy, young adult mermaid book. Because that tells them exactly what it is. I might even say romance. You can say I'm a new author. You can give them some credibility boosters. So I said I'm working on my PhD in literature just so they know, like, I may not be the best writer in the world, but at least it should be decent and it won't be full of bad spelling. So if you have any credibility boosters, if you have a website, I told them a little bit more about my story, why I think they'll like it, why it's better than some of the other stuff out there, and you want to offer it to them for free. And what I'll usually do, like you may... What's easy to do is to put up a PDF or the ebook on a landing page or a web page and just say, I would usually say, I can also send you a paper back if you prefer. It gets expensive to send out paperbacks, but you want to make the offer anyway. So you want to say, I have a PDF or ebook available that's free. You can download it right now. Or if you do a KDP free campaign, you can just say, my book is free today for the next 5 days so that you can get it and review it. I would appreciate it so much. But you can also make the offer and say, I can give you a paperback if you prefer, because a paperback is a real thing. So they know if you send them a free paperback, you know, it might only be worth $5, but you know, it's a real tangible thing. Some people like real books. Some people will want a real book. Most people won't. So even if you email 500 people, maybe only 10 or 20 of them will ask for a paperback, and you should definitely send them out, because, you know, that paperback costs you probably $5 on CreateSpace. It might cost you $10 to send, but you want to be sending out your paperbacks into the world, because there's a more likely chance a reviewer will actually review it if you have a great cover and it's a well-designed book. If not, when they pick it up, they'll know it was just badly produced and they might not start reading. But if you produce it well, sending out a really nice paperback quality book makes your book a little more real. And when the reviewer is done with it, they can pass it on, or they can even donate it. They'll put it in the library. They'll put it in a secondhand bookstore so other people can find it again. You're increasing the chances that more people will find and buy your book. So I wouldn't be too cautious about sending out paperbacks. But also, like, if you did get overrun, you could just say, I'm going to give away 25. You don't need to tell them this, but you can just say, I'm only going to give away 25 paperbacks, like set a limitation. And then if people get back to you, like after the first 25 people request a paperback, you can say, I'm sorry, I'm out of paperbacks right now, and I just have the PDF or the ebook. Thanks for understanding. So if you get, like, if you're spending too much money sending out paperbacks and you don't want to do it anymore, I still think you should make the offer because it makes you stand out. But when they get back to you, you can respond by saying, you know, I'm out of review copies. I'm very sorry. I just have the paper, the PDF or the ebook. That's fine. And then you can stop sending out the paperback books. You would also probably want to, like, I will usually just send a paperback book directly from Amazon. I'll just order one and send it. But if they ask for a book, it's probably a good idea to order a bunch of them, send them to your house so that you can put in a note, like a personal note, and say, thank you so much. If you know their name, you can do it handwritten. You can add their name. Send them a personal letter saying that you appreciate them taking the time to review your book, and put that in the book, possibly with some nice little thing. Like for my mermaid book, I have some little silver mermaid keychains that I could include and say, thanks so much for taking the time. Here's, you know, a little free gift. I don't think that's... Some people would say that that's like buying reviews and it's really scammy. I think you're appreciating that somebody else is taking the time to even take a chance on your book, and you just want to make that a really good experience for them. You want to make sure they know how grateful you are that they're taking the time. So for me, it's not, I'm not buying reviews. I'm just saying thank you, and trying to give as much as I can to the reviewers. So that's how I come from it. But yeah, this is definitely a very involved process. But when you launch your book, you should ask a lot of people to review it, which is, you know, difficult at first. And you can try to make that a little easier by getting at least 10 reviews up quickly, so that when a reviewer goes to your book, they don't just see zero reviews. Nobody wants to be the first person to review a book. So if you can get 10 positive reviews up right away, really quickly, with your friends or family or anybody.
Well, I hope you guys, I hope you understood that guy. He had a little, sound like he had rocks in his throat or something. All right, Black Friday is this Friday. You know, I think Black Friday, if I'm not wrong, I think Black Friday is always the Friday after Thanksgiving. Okay, Thanksgiving is traditionally on a Thursday. Black Friday is traditionally, I'm thinking, right after Thanksgiving. Anyway, what I want to say about Black Friday, I've gone out and tried to do some shopping on Black Friday. I don't think it's all that big of a deal myself, because I went out doing some Black Friday shopping, and I only thing I found was I love to shop, folks. I'm gonna tell you something. I love to shop. I've known some women who didn't love to shop as much as I did, but I love to shop. I mean, if I get some money, I'm going to buy something, you know. Anyway, a few years ago, I went out on Black Friday to purchase some stuff, some things, and everything was picked over. Everything was picked. People were grabbing crap, and people were, you know, I mean, stuff was, I mean, merchandise was everywhere, all on the floor, under the shelves. People were just grabbing stuff, just, you know, and to me, it wasn't much of that stuff, merchandise and stuff, wasn't even that much. There wasn't much cut off of that. I mean, it wasn't any deals to me. I just didn't see any deals. Maybe that was just me. Maybe with that particular store, I don't know. But I don't think Black Friday is all what it's made out to be, you know. But that's just me. 347-857-1762. I will not be going out. We will not be going out on no Black Friday. You know, I mean, if I want to shop, I'm going to go do it on any day I want to do it on, not a Black Friday. But there's so much hype in Black Friday-ness that I'm not saying for you not to go out and do some shopping on Black Friday. It just did not work for me that time, okay? Doesn't mean because it didn't work for me, it won't work for you. You know, so there we go. I want to thank my guest, Corey Williams, for being on the show. He was a straight stand-up guy, deep voice, you know. He reminded me of one of those people who, collection agencies calling you on the phone. All right, Mr. Wilder, pay us or we're coming to get you. You know, he had one of those deep, deep voices. I don't know if it was put on or what, you know, I mean, but he was a stand-up guy. I think he did a good show, and I'm going to send him a link for that. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We got about 12 more minutes into the show. And once again, this is the Talk About Times. We talk about anything here. We have all kinds of guests on the show. We have guests on the show from all over the world. And that's such a great thing, folks. It's just such a great thing. I'm glad. If you're just tuning into the George Wilder Jr. Show, happy Thanksgiving, folks. Happy holidays, and all of this stuff is coming up. And make sure you go to my Amazon page, www.amazon.com/author/G Wilder, and pick up my latest story, pick up my latest work, Hit Me and You Die. It's fiction, it's fun, it's entertaining. What can I say? It was fun to write. Check it out. Because I do have another piece coming out after the holidays, and it's all about Christmas. It's all about Christmas, okay? You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Make sure you tune in on Monday. We're going to be off tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We will be back here on Monday, talking about Thanksgiving and getting ready for Christmas. It's, like I said before at the beginning of the show, Christmas is always a fun time of the year, folks. I love it. I enjoy it. I understand there's people out there who don't give a damn about Christmas. That's their prerogative. That's what they want to do is fine, but it's not what I want to do. And it's going to be great. So I'm going to say have a great Thanksgiving. Have a great Christmas and great holidays. And we will be off the air. Let me stress this once again. We will be off the air on Thanksgiving. So, but that doesn't mean you can't listen to the George Wilder Jr. Show. If you really, really have to do that, just go to Block Talk Radio, put my name in there, and just, you know, scroll down. There's a bunch of shows you can listen to. You know, they're all good. I mean, I'm not just saying it because it's me, but they are. And it's just a great time, folks, in the world today. And we did talk about, okay, let's see what we got. We talked about the weather. Fun things to do around town. It's going to be a lot of fun things to do around Chicago. If you're not, you know, driving and getting out of town for the holidays, Thanksgiving, there's a lot of things to do. I mean, I just Google them, research it on the internet, what you want to do around Chicago. If you're staying here, you're going to enjoy it. Stay vacation. I mean, it's great. It's going to be a lot of things, shows, theaters, movies, restaurants. I mean, it's great entertainment, all kinds of entertainment's going on around Chicago. And I know wherever you are, wherever you're listening to the show, it's a lot of things going on around there. So if you're going to stay home, if you're going to do it at home, and if you want to get out and entertain, you want to do some more, because it's going to be a long weekend. We've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it's going to be a four day weekend Thanksgiving. So it's going to be a lot of great things to be done, a lot of great things to be had. And it's just a fun time. I'm excited. And the weather, people, is just great. I mean, it's not freezing, you know, it's not warm. It's not, you know, but it's kind of unusual for this time of the year. But the weather is just, you know, making it the Thanksgiving holiday even more special, because it's going to be some great weather. It's not going to be that biting cold where you have to, oh, it's so cold. No, it's going to be great. Oh, we can handle this. This is nice. And it is. It's going to be great. And folks, you're listening to the Talk About Times, the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're always here to make the world a better place, because that's what this show is about, making the world a better place, one show at a time. Happy holidays, everybody. And we're going to do this.
Bombs begin to fall. Anyone who never saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw. Heaven help us.
troubled world, I pray the Lord to keep. Keep hatred from the mighty and the mighty from the small.
Have you ever noticed that some people cannot go anywhere without their phones? They have got to have their phones. Some phones are the people's lifeline. It's their lifeline. I mean, their phones are their life. That's all they have in life. That's all what they've got going is that cell phone. Or smartphone. That phone is their life. I mean, people are holding onto that phone. It's like it's their best friend. It's the beat in their heart or whatever. That phone is them. Without that phone, they're nothing. I mean, they don't have no friends. They have no nothing that they're doing that's interesting. But that phone, they gotta have that phone. A majority of the people with a cell phone, they're on Facebook. You know, I mean, everybody's on Facebook. You know, the phone is like the phones are their life, and that's a shame. I don't think a person's phone should be their lifeline, but it is. I don't think a person's phone and some people are on Facebook just to be on Facebook. Some people are on Facebook 24/7. They never leave. And a lot of these people, they don't even post. They don't post. They just watch and read what you post and criticize what you post. And they don't post anything. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Some people's cell phone are all they have in life. It's a shame. I mean, when you treat your cell phone like, you know, it's your best friend, it's, you know, something you got some serious problems. You know, I mean, I have a cell phone and I don't treat it like some people treat their cell phones. Maybe, I don't know, maybe something's weird wrong with me or something. I have no idea. But anyway, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Just thought I'd throw that out there. I want to let everybody to have a happy Thanksgiving. We will not be on the air tomorrow. We'll be celebrating Thanksgiving. And for all of you out there on the road, be careful out there. I know traffic is heavy. People are trying to get out of town as fast as they can. Be careful out there. You don't want to be in a car accident or anything like that. Okay, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to be off tomorrow and for the rest of the days. However, we will be back here on Monday, folks. All right, you guys have a great holiday. And save a little turkey for me. Bye-bye, everybody. Check me out on Monday.